Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I'm excited to preach this word today. I want to jump straight into it. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. I want to look at verses 1 through 6. Acts chapter 3, we'll start at verse number 1 and we'll land at verse number 6. When you're ready to read it, say yeah. You need some time, say hold on. I heard a few hold ons. And it says, one day. Ooh, it's already good. One day. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get a little something, something from them. And then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. First thing out of Peter's mouth is, I don't have it. I'm glad he didn't stop right there, because that is actually where a lot of people stop in life. A lot of people stop and get stuck in life because they're fully aware of what they do not have. In fact, I found that it is the enemy's job to come in your mind and remind you of what you don't have. Okay, how many thankful for Pastor John's message last week on contentment? I'm telling you, the enemy will rob you of your contentment because he say, you don't have this, you don't have this. Look at what's happening in the world. You don't have that, you don't have that. He wants to remind you of what you do not have. But thank God that Peter didn't stop at what he didn't have. He goes on to say, but what I do have. In other words, I got something. Come on, how many are thankful you got something? Oh, you ought to just say it. I got something. It says, what I do have, I give you. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And we'll stop right there. But this man ends up getting up. But I want to title this message today, Don't Stay Stuck. Don't stay stuck. I know these are interesting times. You might feel stuck. You might be stuck. But don't stay stuck. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Father, thank you for your word. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. My father and I, we flew in from Dallas into Springfield last night. It's my third flight since the pandemic. And it was interesting. I don't know if you've been to an airport lately, because I declare to you today, after almost 16 years of traveling, almost 3 million miles flown, for the first time ever, it was peaceful in the airport. I'm telling you, it was peaceful. I had room on the plane. I walked through with ease. It is peaceful at the airport. Forget Branson. I'm going to go to the airport just for a vacation. It was peaceful because how many know prior to the pandemic, that was not so. It is stressful to travel. I'm telling you, if you ever want to test your faith or your Christ-likeness, just go to the airport. I've been traveling for years and I've developed what I call rules of flying. One of my biggest rules is nonstop flights only. I'm like you, I don't want interruptions. Just get me from Dallas to my destination. That's one of my rules. The problem with that rule is the reality that there are some places in life, if you're gonna go, you will have to stop and make a connection. Oh, that'll preach. I might say that again later. So the challenge has always been for me in the past, especially traveling, is when my departing flight is late and I gotta connect in another city. When I get to the connecting city, I have like 1.5 minutes to get to the next gate. And to add to that, I landed at gate A1. But my connecting gate is at gate Z99. And I got 1.5 minutes to get to gate Z99. Talk about stress. I am running with everything I can, trying to get to gate Z99. But sometimes as I'm running, I will see something in the distance. I'll see something that reminds me of the favor of God. I'll see something that lets me know that God is still in the miracle working business. I'll see one of those, I don't know if you've seen them before, the moving walkways. Have you ever seen those before? Those moving walkways. I love love the moving walkway. When I walk on a moving walkway, it reminds me of having God's favor on your life. Because you know, when you walk on that moving walkway, it expedites your journey. It gets you there faster than you could in your own strength. I love a moving walkway. Ooh. Only problem though, with the moving walkway, my only frustration with the moving walkway, my only issue with the moving walkway are the people on the moving walkway who refuse to. What is wrong with y'all? This is why I came to Springfield to talk about this right here. What is wrong with y'all? Why in the world would you be standing with your big old suitcase that should have been checked? Why would you be standing on the moving walkway? Ooh. I think my frustration is not just that you're an interruption to my interruption. I think my frustration with you people who are here and watching online is that it's not that you're standing. If you were standing in any other place in the airport, I would be cool with it. I think my frustration just stems from the fact that you have brought stagnation on a mechanism that was created for movement. Yeah. That's my annoyance, is that you have brought stagnation and stuckness to something that was actually designed to move you further and faster. And anytime you have stagnation in a place that was created for movement, you will always have frustration. Oh, always have frustration. Come on, that has been the challenge in this pandemic when those stay-at-home orders were put into place. And come on, we became homeschool teachers and we couldn't go out. The frustration of being stuck in places where we were able to move, I'm telling you, it can make you go crazy. Anytime you have stagnation in a place that's created for movement, you will have frustration. And I wonder if the reason many of us get spiritually frustrated is because our spiritual lives get stuck and stagnant when God created and designed us for movement. Oh, you do know that God created you for movement, but oftentimes we get stuck. God is always trying to take you somewhere. He is always moving. I hope you know that God did not design you to be stuck, still, or stationary, but he's actually trying to move you from faith to faith. Come on, he's trying to take you from glory to glory. Even what's happening right now, God is always trying to take you to somewhere because he's got a place that he's already prepared for you. And the reason he's trying to move you along is because God is a God of movement. Oh, that's why the Bible says that the steps of the righteous, not the stuckness, the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Why does God order the steps? Because he is a God of movement. One of the things I love about the Bible is one of the first things God reveals to us, even in Genesis, is that he's a God of movement. Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was what? Moving over the face of the waters. Isn't that interesting that even in the darkness, even in the chaos, God was still moving? How many know God is still moving in the earth right now, even in spite of what we're seeing? He is always moving. He's always taking you somewhere. In fact, to me, creation was just the commencement of a symphony, where God, the cosmic conductor, just pulled out his omnipotent baton and began this melody of movement. Because everything he made had to move. Everything in creation had a cadence. It had a pace. Nothing got to stay still. He said, let there be stars. Put the whole solar system in place. And once everything was set, he goes, oh yeah, y'all can't be still. Get to moving. And all of a sudden, everything started moving. And even right now, we are moving. You understand, the earth is moving almost 1,000 miles per hour, and you can't even feel it. But yet, we are still moving right now. You can't feel it, and we are moving. That's why you've got to stop judging what God is doing in your life based off of what you feel. This has nothing to do with your feelings, a lot to do with your faith. God's still moving, even when you can't feel it. Oh, everything he made had to move. Said, let there be water. Told the water to get to moving. Water, you can't be still. That's mosquitoes. Get to move. And the water started. Every animal he made had to move. The cheetah got to move. And he told a turtle to get to move. And even a turtle had to move. The turtle was like, God, I'm an introvert. I don't want to come out of my shell. He said, no, you still got to move. You don't have to be as fast as the cheetah, but get to move. And he reaches down in dirt, creates mankind, breathes into us the breath of life. And guess what your heart starts doing? It starts moving. Come on, that's why when you go to the doctor, he checks. He puts on his little headphones and he checks. You know what he's listening for? He's listening for the same beat that began in the beginning. And if there's irregularities in that beat, that means there's something wrong in your body, because it's got to be moving. See, this is why I thank God. Not because my life is perfect. I'm just thankful that I got another day to get up and give him praise. It might not be perfect, but thank God I'm still here. Hallelujah. God is a God of movement. You don't believe God is a God of movement? James River, two-thirds of his name is go. Some of y'all get that tomorrow. He defeats death, hell, and the grave, gets up, and is about to go back to heaven and ascend to the right hand of the Father. I can see disciples looking at him like, hold up, before you go. Can we get like a commission or something? He's like, oh, you want a commission? All right, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, because our God is a God of movement. The challenge for us becomes that God is a God of movement, but you and I, humanity, we have this tendency to always get stuck. Have you noticed this about us? We get stuck. We get stuck in mindsets. We get stuck from mistakes in our past. We get stuck with bad ideology. We get stuck. We just get stuck. Let's not even talk spiritual. Let's just talk practically. We get stuck going to, some of y'all go to the same coffee shop. The same coffee shop. Some of you mad right now because of the social distancing. You can't sit in the seat that you normally sit in. You've been sitting in that same seat for years. And I see you looking like, oh, I cannot wait till all this is over so I can get in my seat. Because we just get stuck in routines and systems. All that is wrong with humanity right now is because Adam and Eve got stuck. Oh, you want to know why there's racial injustice, why there's division, why there's... Because Adam and Eve got stuck. They got stuck at the wrong tree, listening to the wrong voice, so they made the wrong choice, and now we are reaping the ramifications of a decision that they made when they were stuck. Intrinsic in our DNA is this sickness of stuckness. Hope I don't bore you today. In fact, can I get a little drink of water? Is that cool? Give somebody an air high five while I get some water. In my text today, there's a man who no doubt is stuck, Acts chapter 3. But I brought up Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3 because I actually think there is a synergy between Acts chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 3. See, if you look at Acts chapter 3 just at a micro level, you'll see a man who is stuck outside of the temple gate called Beautiful, begging until one day Peter and John, full of the Holy Spirit, raise him up. But if we broaden the lens of this text and look at it from really like a macro level, keeping Genesis 3 in mind, I submit to you this man is really just a picture of the spiritual condition of humanity. Because, you know, spiritually, every single one of us are lame. This man was lame from birth. And spiritually, you and I were born lame. You do know that, right? You were born, lame. Some of you are like, Robert, I'm a good person. No, you're lame. Spiritually speaking, you were born lame. Come on, that's why nobody had to teach you how to be selfish. Oh, come on, what class did you take on greediness? What class did you take on lying? It was already in you. It was already in us. We were born spiritually lame. We had no access. We were stuck outside to the presence of God. We were spiritual beggars. So Peter and John raising this man up is really just a picture of the power of what the cross of Jesus Christ did. It raised us up. And how many are thankful that you can have access now to the presence of God? So there is a synergy between Acts chapter 3 in Genesis chapter 3, but in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit that first Independence Day, when they said, we want to do whatever we want to do, all of a sudden, all of humanity got stuck. And y'all know me, I just think differently. In my mind, as soon as Adam and Eve took of that forbidden fruit, it's not how it happened in the Bible, but in my exegetical imagination, all of humanity got stuck. And I think God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit immediately called an executive Trinity team meeting. And he looked down, God the Father did. He looked at the Holy Spirit, looked at Jesus, and said, y'all see what I see? And they're stuck. And you know they can't get themselves out. So one of y'all gonna have to go down there and get them out. And immediately Jesus looks at the Holy Spirit and says, well, can't nobody move like you. So why don't you go down there and get them out? And the Holy Spirit's like, no, don't play Jesus. Come on, you know I'm Acts chapter 2, you Matthew chapter 1. Don't try to mess up the Bible, Jesus. Come on, you're the Savior of the world. You go down there, you help them. And Jesus like, you're right. And Jesus gets on the balcony of heaven. Come on, you know this. Jumps off the balcony of heaven. It was a 41 generation jump. But he lands in the womb of a virgin named Mary. I'm at Christmas. And all of a sudden, she's feeling nauseous. And so she talks to her fiance, Joseph, and says, boo, I need to talk to you. He's like, yeah, we need to talk. Why you been so distant lately? She's like, oh, I don't even know how to tell you this. Let's see. Okay, give me your hand. Takes Joseph's hand, puts it on her stomach, and Joseph goes, whoa! Something just moved. She goes, yeah, that's what he does. All of a sudden, there is tension in their relationship. So she takes an Uber to her pregnant cousin Elizabeth's house. And when she gets out of the Uber, she waddles up to her pregnant cousin Elizabeth, and they both greet each other like two penguins meeting in Alaska for the very first time. And Elizabeth goes, girl, you're not going to believe this. I've not felt my baby move in weeks. But as soon as you got out of that Uber, girl, my baby started kicking and moving around. I don't know what's on the inside of you, but it's making my baby move on the inside of me. And Mary goes, yeah, that's what he does. Then Elizabeth goes, I cannot believe you took an Uber down here, girl. You are pregnant. And Mary goes, yeah, and the Uber driver was weird too. Elizabeth goes, really? What was his name? Mary goes, John. Elizabeth goes, I like that name. Fast forward 30 years later, Jesus and John the Baptist are in the Jordan River, and please believe that the water is still moving from the same cadence of creation when God spoke it into existence, and it's rushing between their legs, and all of a sudden, John looks in the distance and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He baptizes Jesus. The heavens open up. He starts moving in the earth, healing the sick, raising the dead. He goes to the cross and defeats death and sin, gets up from the grave and ascends back up to the Father. And all of a sudden, the Trinity executive team meeting is readjourned. Ooh, I just gave you the whole Bible like in 3 minutes, but it's cool. No, just sit there. It's fine. He ascends back up to the right hand of the Father. And all of a sudden, God the Father and Holy Spirit say, Jesus, you did that. He goes, you know, I did the best that I could. And they look at the Holy Spirit and say, it's on you now. The Holy Spirit goes, I know. And the Holy Spirit gets on the balcony of heaven, jumps off the balcony of heaven, but lands in the upper room. And suddenly a sound as a mighty rushing wind began to fill a place where some believers got together and started praying and believing God for a move. And all of a sudden, they were all filled. But the Holy Spirit began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And in that room that day was Peter and John. Ooh, now my text, all that was my intro. And Peter and John leave that meeting. They say, hey, we just got power to be as witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We better start in Jerusalem. Let's go to the church and pray. Let's go to the temple and pray. Can you see Peter and John walking to the temple together to pray? Can you see them? Peter and John. Peter and John. Quick question, what are these two dudes doing hanging out? You realize they don't have to hang out anymore. Jesus has already ascended to the Father. The only thing that connected them was that Jesus handpicked them. He selected them. You know they don't have to hang out anymore. Peter and John, why are they going to church together? Peter and John, you do know that one of these things is not like the other. Oh, come on, this is a huge walking contradiction. First of all, Peter is older, John is much younger. Oh, come on, John is walking and he's on TikTok, Peter is on Facebook. Peter and John walking together, what in the world are these two dudes doing together? They are complete opposite. Peter's an extrovert, he's gonna say something crazy and apologize later. John is an introvert, he's a lover. Peter is a cusser. I mean, come on, when John would show his loyalty and his love for Jesus, he would just put his head on the chest of Jesus. John loved to cuddle with Jesus. When Peter got ready to express his loyalty to Jesus, he pulled out a knife, a switchblade, and cut a dude's ear all the way off. Jesus had to fix it real quick, like, Peter, what are you doing? What are they doing? Oh, Peter is a conservative. John is a liberal. What in the world are these two dudes doing together? I'm trying to figure out how a gangster and Gandhi are walking to church together saying, this is going to be a really good service. A walking contradiction. Oh, and maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point, because the healing of this lame man is actually the first New Testament miracle. So I submit to you, it is actually not the first New Testament healing. So I don't think it's just an ordinary miracle. I think it's a prototype miracle where God is trying to show the church today how his power works in the earth. And maybe the reason they're walking together is a walking contradiction, because God is trying to get the church today to understand that what the culture calls a contradiction, the kingdom calls collaboration. Oh, I'm going to say that again. What the culture sees as the greatest place of division and separation, in the kingdom of God, it is the greatest place of collaboration. This is why the enemy wants us mad and fighting, because a house divided cannot stand. But I'm telling you, what the culture calls a contradiction, in the kingdom of God, it is collaboration. Oh, I wonder what would happen if the church would get together and collaborate instead of focusing on the contradictions. Isn't it interesting that the first miracle after the birth of the church was a collaboration between one disciple that had a big mouth, Peter, and another disciple that had a big heart, John. And perhaps it was John's compassion that noticed the lame man, but it took Peter's courage to say, hey, bro, get up. No, nobody's gonna feel sorry for you. Get up. I still got a knife in my pocket. Get up, bro. It's the power of collaboration. I can't just talk about Peter and John. We gotta talk about this man that so many of you in here and are watching right now can relate to, because this man is the epitome of being stuck. Whenever I preach a message like this, I promise you, I will sit like this, because I want to feel what the person I'm preaching about felt. How many know empathy goes a long way when you can feel what other people are feeling? Think about this. Even in our current context, we don't understand what many of our disabled brothers and sisters have to face. Can you imagine in biblical antiquity? No hover rounds, no wheelchairs, the epitome of being stuck. When somebody dropped you off, you better get comfortable, because you're going to be there for a while. And I thought about this, that the only thing that didn't work in this man's life were his legs. Everything else worked. His mind worked, cognitive capabilities. I'm telling you, his heart was beating. He probably had good teeth. All those faculties were intact. But all of that was shut down and affected because one thing didn't work. Life is that way. Isn't it crazy how one thing can affect a multiplicity of things? Somebody like, oh, I got all these problems. I got all these issues. No, you just got one. Come on, your bad attitude is affecting every area of your life. Your inability to focus is affecting every area of your life. Your procrastination can affect every area of your life, because one thing can affect a whole lot of things. And before you know it, you start developing what I call systems of stuckness. Start doing what you got to do to get around, because this is the way it's always going to be. Even during this pandemic, some of you have lost so much hope. You're like, it's not going to change, so I may as well get comfortable. You start having stuck conversations with other stuck people. You ever had stuck conversations? Because you know, when you're lame, the only other people you can talk to are other lame people, because lame recognizes lame. Just start having stuck conversations like, hey, bro, what you gonna do today? Man, I'm probably gonna lay here for a little bit. What you gonna do? I was thinking the same thing. Have you ever had stuck conversations with people? It's gonna be the same conversation a month from now that it is today. Just stuck. It's affected his economy. He's begging. It's affected his mentality. Oh, it's nothing worse than just being stuck. And all of a sudden, he's developed a system of stuckness. It's interesting. What really drew me to this text is not just that he was stuck. What drew me to this text is the Bible says something, and I read past this before. It says that he was brought to the temple every day. Think about that. They brought him to church every day, not just on a reopening day, not just every single day he was dropped in front of the temple gate. So if he was dropped in front of the temple gate every day, that means there are two people in this passage of scripture that nobody ever preaches about and nobody ever talks about. If he was dropped every day, and I invited them to this sizzling summer series, okay? Because everybody talked about Peter and John, but there are two other people in this passage, and they are here today with the lame man. In fact, welcome them as they come real quick. See, yeah, everybody talks about you, the lame man. Everybody talks about Peter and John. My question today is, how come nobody talks about you two? How come nobody talks about Billy and Bob? The Bible says they dropped him in front of the temple every single day. Do you know what every day is? That means on Sunday, they would pick him up. Pick him up. After they picked him up, they would drop him in front of the church. Just drop him right there, gingerly. And after they dropped him, then they would go to work, do whatever they had to do. They would come back. He would hold up his cup and beg. Yeah, he would beg all day. They would come back maybe about 5 o'clock that evening, pick him right back up. After they picked him up, they would drop him off at his house, and then Billy and Bob would probably just go back home. That is Sunday. On Monday, they come right back and pick him up. They drop him all the way in front of the temple gate. After they drop him, he would get up and hold out his cup and beg. They went to work, did whatever they had to do, would come right back about 5 o'clock that afternoon. You didn't know you were working out in church today. Would pick him right back up and then drop him home. And then they would go back home themselves. That's Monday, Tuesday morning. Ding dong. Here come Billy and Bob to pick him right back up, drop him all the way at the temple gate. After they dropped him, he would sit up, hold out his cup and beg. They went to work, did whatever they had to do, came right back about 5 o'clock that evening, would pick him right back up, and then take him all the way back home before they would go home themselves. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, pick him right. I'm playing. I'll get it. He was like, oh my goodness, I'm never doing an illustration again. I'm just trying to show you the laborious nature of every single day. Anybody ever felt like that this year? Like every single day has looked like the same day. And maybe they dropped him every day for the first few weeks out of the kindness of their heart. Maybe they did it. No, they're good guys. Maybe a month just trying to be nice to the man. And I hope I'm not bringing my own presupposition to this passage, but I wonder if one of those days they picked him up and they dropped him in front of the temple and he would hold up his cup and beg all day. They came back later that evening. Hold up. That cup is not empty. Y'all feel what I'm feeling? Come on, you're sweating. Yeah, they have been working hard. I think you should get your cut. Come on, get your cut. Don't take that much. Come on, put some back. Put some back. Yeah, get your cut. Come on, even Uber's not free. Get your cut. Now that you got your cut, now pick them back up. And now carry him back home. And he's lighter now, isn't he? And now we have, hold on, pause. You can put him down. We have collaborators to a sick system of somebody who's stuck. How many know at this point, Billy and Bob don't want him healed? Oh, they don't want him whole. It would affect their pocket. They have developed a relationship to his dysfunction and has become the beneficiaries of his issues. And the reason I brought Billy and Bob is to tell somebody in here that whenever you are stuck, there will always be Peters and Johns who are trying to pull you up into what God has for you. You might not like it, but they are. But there will also be Billies and Bobs who don't want you healed, who don't want you whole, who want you to go through the routine and don't want you to have your freedom. Oh, I'm telling you, Billy and Bob can be anybody. A friend, it can be a coworker, it can be something you're watching on TV, the news media. It can be all somebody that wants to keep you in that system and keep you stuck. Bible says y'all can leave. The Bible says that whole system of getting picked up, getting dropped off, don't miss this. That went on for 40 years. 40 years. Can you imagine? 40 years of every day getting picked up, holding out his cup, making a few bucks, going back home with no change. After 40 years, you're just a robot. You're just going through the motions. 40 years getting picked up. You know you lost your hope when you stopped looking up. 40 years, and here's what I love though, after 40 years of going through the motions, after 40 years of every day looking the same, after 40 years looking at your legs in a situation that doesn't seem like it's gonna ever change, the Bible says one day, one day after 40 years, there came one day after 40 years of being in bondage and being down, there came one day. Oh, don't tell me that there's no hope. Don't tell me that God can't get you up from what you are stuck in. If after 40 years, he got a one day, how many of you know you can have a one day? In fact, somebody watching right now, today is your one day. You cannot be on the ground anymore. God wants you to get up from being stuck. After 40 years, one day, going through the motions, he hears two voices full of the Holy Spirit that say, look at us. The Bible says he gave Peter and John his attention. I bet he did give them his attention, because that's where every miracle starts. Miracles start with you giving God your attention. Every miracle in your life starts with you giving God your attention, because if you give God your attention, he will always exceed your expectation. Come on, that's what Peter and John did. They just paid attention. Everybody else walked over him and went into the temple, but Peter and John said, no, we are the church. So in the name of Jesus, this man can get up and walk. They just paid attention. Ooh, I wonder what miracle hasn't come to pass in your life because you're not paying attention. Maybe this global pause where God's put everybody on timeout is so some of us can pay attention, because some of us have been living our lives but not paying attention to the quality of our life. And God's saying, pay attention. He gave Peter and John his attention, expecting to get something. What was he expecting to get? To walk? Please. After 40 years? No. He was expecting some money. He's like, oh, they see me. This is going to be a payday. He was expecting money. And isn't that sad? He was expecting money. He didn't think that movement was possible. Because sometimes when you've been stuck for a while, you will downgrade your dream to fit your reality. Have you downgraded your dream to fit your reality? Saying, this is the way my marriage will always be. This is the way my kids will always be. It's never going to change. No, don't downgrade your dream to fit your reality when God wants to exceed your expectations. That's what happened that day. They said, silver and gold I don't have. I'm going to disappoint you on the money, but guess what? I got a God that is able to give you movement. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Come on, somebody who's facing some trouble right now and has lost all hope. You lost your job, you lost your mind, about to lose the house, but don't you ever lose one thing. That is the name of Jesus, because Jesus plus nothing equals absolutely everything. And as long as I got that name, oh, I got every single thing I need. Somebody give them some praise in this place today. Oh, don't you let the enemy think you don't have anything. If you don't have anything but the power to call on that great name, got everything you need. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And he starts jumping and leaping all the way into the temple. And I love that they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging. That's called grace, because God will make sure that the same people that saw you in your lame season will see you in your leaping season, so you can be a testimony to the goodness of our God. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? The same God that did it for that man is willing and able to do it for you today. If you're stuck and you know this word is for you, you got to get out of stuck. It's all right to be stuck. It's all right to feel stuck. Don't stay stuck. If you know I'm stuck in something, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. You say, I need to get out of being stuck. I can't do it in my strength. I need Jesus. Would you just lift up your hand? Watch it online. Just lift it up here in the room. Lord, I need you. Yeah, lift it up. Put it right back down. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you're stuck in your sin. You don't have to get yourself together to come to him. You come just as you are. That's you. I want you to lift up your hand or type in online saying, I need to give him my life today. Give him my life. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this prayer as one family. Say, dear Jesus, come on, let's all declare, dear Jesus, thank you that you died, got up from the grave to get me unstuck. I cannot do life without you. Come into my life. Make me brand new. From this moment forward, I'm walking with you. I will not stay stuck. I'll move into what you have for me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you, James River.